Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, hey, welcome back to Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me today. My name is John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. A few years ago, my guest today emailed Seth Godin to ask if he could produce a podcast based on Seth's hit book, Lynchpin. Seth said yes, and the unofficial Lynchpin podcast was born. That takes guts, and I respect anyone that is willing to come up with a mutually beneficial idea and ask for what they want. In that same year, he partnered with Cliff Ravenscraft, the world's most popular podcast consultant, to create a technology show called Business Tech Weekly. In early 2013, he self-published his first book, The Early to Rise Experience. His book was a tremendous success, and as more and more authors wanted to learn the secrets to his success, he built the self-publishing system. Today's guest is a creator and encourager. Whether it's a podcast, book, blog post, or speech, his message is the same. You must take permission if you want to live a great life, create great art, and positively impact the world. Now, let's hack Andy Traub. Before we get started in today's interview, I want to take a moment to thank today's awesome sponsor, FreshBooks. FreshBooks is the easy-to-use invoicing software designed to help small business owners get organized, save time invoicing, and get paid faster. It is simple to get organized and get paid fast so you can focus on growing your business. You can invoice and bill, you can track time, you can do estimates, reports, and their support is absolutely unbelievable because I can actually phone an online company and get a real human to talk to me. You can use it for invoicing and you can accept payments via PayPal and Stripe directly online and have it set up in minutes. You can track expenses from your bank account or you can snap a picture from the iPhone app. FreshBooks will allow you to stay on top of your business with a clear picture of its financial health. You should try FreshBooks free today. Go to freshbooks.com/hack and enter Hack the Entrepreneur in the How Did You Hear About Us section. And we are back with another awesome episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. Andy, welcome to the show.
I'm honored to be here, and I appreciate you raising the bar by saying this will be an awesome episode. So I will try not to let you down. And you, the listener, I will try not to let you down either.
You won't. You won't. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here.
Ah, nice. Pre-screened.
Exactly. Like all right, Andy.
I have standards, Andy. Come on.
Okay, let's see if we can do this.
All right.
Andy, as an entrepreneur, what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
The one thing that I have done that has been the biggest contributor to my successes so far is not asking for permission. And that's my brain. My brain is take permission. And so I've implemented that in every area of my business. If I just take permission, and it has served me quite well.
Take permission in what, where, why, when, and how?
I'll give you tons of examples because I try to do this like every day. So this is really a recent one. Two of my friends have much larger platforms than I do, much larger. Like where I would get, you know, 7,000 visitors, 8,000 visitors a month on my website, they're getting hundreds of thousands, right? Where I have an email list of 8,000, they have, you know, 90,000 and larger, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so where I took permission is I'm friends with them and I said, hey, there's this opportunity that's come up to promote something, and I know that you're probably going to be asked about it, but you're pretty busy. Why don't you let me take care of all the details, and I'll just host those calls for you. So I'll host the sort of promotion. There's an opportunity to do a webinar on a product that a mutual friend of ours was selling, and it's like, oh, that would be great. But what do I have to do? And I said, you literally just show up. We're going to split everything 50-50, and they're like, done. So I did all the work of setting up the calls, setting up the opt-ins for the calls, sending out the email copy to their lists. So I got access to their lists to send out, and social media, I gave them all. So they just literally just had to show up. And, you know, I don't know what a lot of money is to different people. You know, I read a story yesterday about the guy that made Minecraft. He just bought a $70 million mansion in Beverly Hills.
I saw that too.
Like, that's a lot of money.
Okay? That's a lot of money to everybody. Let's just be clear.
Right. But let's just say like this. Like, so I probably did, I don't know, 6-8 hours worth of work for all of that stuff. Okay. And I will probably clear $8,000 to $10,000 off of that.
Nice.
Like, that's a lot of money to me.
That, you know, is a
like
lot
that's
money.
Not like retire when I'm, you know, 38, which would be next year. But I'm like, hey, for 6-8 hours of work, if I can make $8,000, like, I'll take that all day long. As long as I don't have to sell drugs. Right. Because there's some drug dealers out there listening right now, and you know, they're going, that's not enough money. But I don't know your audience very well, but I was a total joke.
You're probably pretty accurate.
That's an example. that's deadly accurate. But that's an example of taking permission. And I literally just, it was within a half hour. I called one guy. I said, hey, what do you think about this? And he's like, okay, cool. Let's do it. I called the first guy while I was driving to the second guy's house. And I texted him. I was like, hey, can I pop in real quick? I sat down. I said, hey, you want to do this? And he's like, sure, let's do it. So the taking permission part was that I came to them and I said, I'm going to take care of all of this. Now, did I know about how all those pieces were going to work? About half of it, I knew was how it was going to work. Like, I didn't know what format we were going to do the calls or the webinars in, but that was a detail that I was going to figure out later. I just needed their permission first. So the way I took permission is I took permission to go say, hey, you should partner with me. That's what I said to him. I said, you should partner with me and I can make this really easy for you. And I told a couple of friends of mine that I'm in a mastermind with. And they're like, dude, that's really smart, because those guys don't have a lot of time, but they have a big audience. And if you can come in, they'll split a 50-50, you know, then win-win. So that's one example of taking permission. One of my favorites is when I approach Seth Godin and I emailed him. I'll tell you about one time he said yes, one time he said no. So I maintain my humility. So the first time is I emailed him and I was like, Seth, your book Lynchpin changed my life. I'm reading it right now. I was like on page 43. And I remember I was sitting at my father-in-law's restaurant in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, where I used to live. And I got on my laptop, closed the book, emailed him. I said, do I have your permission to create a podcast around the book Lynchpin? And I'll just interview Lynchpins, but I'd want to use like the book logo and cover and stuff. And he wrote me back and he said, sounds great, Andy, go for it. I was like, whoa, whoa. So I did that for a while. And that's one of the things that really helped me get some other paid podcasting gigs. It's one of the things that a lot of people know me for. I don't produce the show anymore, but it's out there and still gets lots of listens. And so I took permission to say, I'm going to approach him with this idea. And he said, sure. You know, and I've approached other people on things where they've said yes. Now, an example where I try to take permission and I said, hey, Seth, I'm going to be in town. I just want to come by and just shake your hand and then nothing else. I'm going to have coffee. And he wrote me back and he said, sorry, I'm too busy. That was all. So I was like, okay, he was too busy for me to shake his hand. But then I remembered like the guy has like millions of readers. And if literally he just said yes to everyone that wanted to stop by and shake his hand, he probably just could do that all day long, right?
Yeah, he could. And so, but what's the big deal, right? If he says no.
Right. It's not like I hate him. What's, you know, I still buy everything he makes, you know? So.
Right. And even if you didn't, it's just, I mean, what's the worst to you, right? Like that's, I love the taking permission thing because it's, I think everything I've ever done in my life has been also based on just the fact that I'm just willing to ask somebody or willing to just go do it. And I like how you say with the webinar, it's like, well, I didn't know the format and stuff, but really, you know, you're going to figure it out because you have to. Once you set the date, now I'm in.
I'm like, well, I guess I better figure that out. Because exactly.
And you will. You absolutely will. Like rather than like beforehand, well, maybe I'll do this, but maybe I should figure out all this stuff first. Like people just hype up this idea of like, well, why would this person let me use their list if I don't have everything laid out? It's like, they don't care. They just tell them something that's going to be easy and make it easy for them and just show that you're confident enough to even ask.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. And, but you better figure it out because you don't want to bomb for them. You know, that would be bad. That would hurt the relationship. But, you know, that's even when that happens, sometimes it's not irreparable. But, you know, that the part of taking permission sometimes meaning asking for partnership. It's not that you just go grab it and say, you know, Joe, we're doing this thing together and you'd be stupid not to do it with me. That's not taking permission. That's being a jerk, right? But it's being assertive enough to say, hey, I'm pretty good at some stuff and I'd love to help you and me by doing this deal together. and they're like, game on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you'd be surprised at how many people just say, game on, let's do it. It'll actually astound yourself, probably like, wow, that person actually said yes. That's pretty cool. Right. So,
yeah, if they say no, then, you know, that no is not always a no forever and ever and ever. You know, it's no for that one project.
Exactly. You know, exactly. So, Andy, there's a time in every person and every entrepreneur's life when they realize one of two things. Either they have a calling to make something big, or they simply, which this seems to be most people, they just simply can't work for somebody else. Can you tell me which two of these you are and when you realize this?
I'm totally unemployable.
Awesome.
So I'm the second. And I don't, one of my friends, his name is Jeff Goines, and he's an author, and I host a podcast for him called The Portfolio Life. And this idea is such that, you know, gone are the days where we say, I am this, and that is all that I am ever. That, like, for instance, my friend Jeff, he's a writer, but he's also an entrepreneur, and he's also a teacher, mm-hmm. and he's also a father, and he's, you know, he's lots and lots and lots of things. And so when I look at my career, I really look at it as a portfolio career. And the freedom of that is that, and I have a portfolio business. So it's like, what do you do? You know, last night at the neighborhood Christmas party for the kids, I was identified as a writer. And in my mind, I'm going, I'm not really doing any writing right now for towards a book project. And that's okay, because I have a portfolio business where I do several different things. And I do those things because I like multiple streams of income. I do them because my tastes change. Sometimes I want to write, sometimes I don't. I do multiple things because it's more interesting for me. Like, I'm standing in my office right now. I have three desks in the fourth bedroom of our house. I have three desks and a love seat. So I have four places I can either sit. Two of them are standing desks. One's a sitting desk and one's the leather love seat. Because I have to be in different places. Like, I just can't sit in one place all the time. And that's the same with my business. Like, I never want to go, I'm this guy and this is my only thing. Now, many, many days, I really wish that I had my act together more, that I could really focus in on one thing. But I'm trying to get better at that. I don't think I ever want one thing, but I would like to do each thing better, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does. And it's funny because the writer probably comes up at the Christmas party, because that's probably the most easily identifiable one. Oh, yeah, totally. To most people,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, he's a writer. That's interesting. Not, well, he's kind of like, he podcasts, he writes, he, you know what I mean? It's like, people, well, what? I don't get it. It's,
yeah, if I said to the guy, he's like, what do you do? I'm like, well, I partner with people with existing platforms to do promotions for other people's digital products. And they're like, oh, nailed it. Great. Or I could be like, I'm a writer.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the other cool thing about being a writer is people generally don't do a lot of follow-up questions.
Right, right.
Which is kind of nice. They don't look at you like with a confused, you know, Cocker Spaniel look. You know, like, huh? You know? So sometimes it's easier, just depending on the audience, just to go, I'm this. Okay, that's nice, you know.
Right, exactly. So, okay, we're going to move to work, because you are running a portfolio business. That's a great way. I've never thought of it in that way, but I think that's what lots of us as entrepreneurs do. And you also, you have a book, right? The Early to Rise Experience.
Yeah.
So I'm terrible at early rising. And you have three desks in your office. You do a lot of different things and you must have to stay productive. Can you, Andy, walk us through, say, the first 30 minutes today of a work day? Walk us through the first 30 minutes from waking up and to setting up your day to become productive.
All right. It's funny. Actually, in my attempts to be more vulnerable and open and sort of just more proficient in my writing, I wrote a poem the other day. And the poem was like 40 lines, but each line was just two words. And it was, you know, it was basically like going through my day, right? But I remember like one of the first parts of the poem was about like, it was like, wake up, resist email. And like every fifth line is resist email or something like that, you know? What do you do all day? I resist email. You know what I mean? That's my daily battle.
I give into email all day.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm sorry, that was inaccurate. I say I try to resist email.
Oh, there we go. Okay.
Sorry, that try word, right? But so my day, what I try to have my day look like and what today did look like, praise God, was that I was able to resist email, that I woke up and got myself a cup of coffee with an AeroPress my buddy bought me and sat down and I had Seth Godin has put out a book called What to Do When It's Your Turn.
Yes.
And it's always your turn. And so I read a bit of that. And then as with most Seth Godin books, I can't read very much because I have to stop and go do something.
Especially this one. It's your turn.
Yeah. He's like, go do something. And you're reading a book about doing something and you're realizing like, that's not really doing. I mean, that is doing something, but I should do more.
But the book is awesome, isn't it?
It's really, really unique. And I think in large part because
I dig it.
It's more art.
Yeah.
It's more artistic than any book he's ever done.
Reminds
and
me
here's
of
what's interesting. I emailed him and I said, Seth, thank you for this book. It's beautiful. And thank you for your generosity. Because if you bought three, he gives you five. Yeah. If you bought five, he sent you eight. I don't know if he's probably not doing that for future orders. But if you were one of the early adopter folks.
I bought 11. But, he sent me like 16 copies. I'm giving 10 away starting in their new year on this show.
So. You know what I was realizing and remind me of, well, maybe I lost my train of thought, but that's okay. So one thing I want to do with another copy is I'm realizing the art is so beautiful in it and so like poignant that I'm actually going to take one copy of the book and just cut it up and like, you know, like frame some of it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I think it's like so cool.
Doesn't it say that right in one part to like that they're giving you an extra one to give away or cut up or do whatever?
Oh, I don't know.
And just mail parts away to people or do whatever you want. You know what I mean?
It's great.
Yeah.
Great. Wow. Well, that's,
it's amazing. It's an amazing book.
It is amazing. And the art really helps and it really moves me to go like take action. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I read some of that and then it was telling me I need to ship and be a writer. And so I think I stopped reading it and I went and I wrote something. And what did I write? Oh, I wrote I wrote this morning for about 20 minutes about how I think I'm doing the internet wrong. Like if I woke up in 2014, 15, wherever you're listening to this, and it's like I'd never met the internet and I met it today, I'm like, whoa, this is an amazing tool. Like I doubt that I would have a great affinity for Facebook or that I would visit the same six sites every day for my news. And the reason I say that is I was trying to pay attention to my behavior and realize like I'm doing these things because it's a habit, not because it's the right way. So I write about how I should probably use the internet versus how I am using the internet. So anyway, so I wrote that and that was right now it's crap. I mean, it's not a good post at all, but I have this rule that like draft one is just horrible and I don't put it out. I write that in Scrivener and I just have probably 100 posts that are just junk, but they're at least started. I can go back and refine them. So
yeah, I do that same thing. And sometimes you'll go back to something later and you can so easily just twist it into something really good, I find.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. But that's, the key is to write it when it's junk and to know that it's junk.
Yeah.
But like, and so sometimes I'll write that in Scrivener. Sometimes I like writing in Evernote because then I can just do like a quick keyboard shortcut and I can tweet it out and say, here's a poem I wrote today. Maybe someday I'll publish it. But then it's like my sort of safe way of going, hey, I wrote something, but I didn't put it on my blog. You know what I mean? Just check this out.
We all need these ways.
Check this out in a tweet that no one's going to see in 2 hours. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So
it's like kind of a safe way to go, look at me. But you never raise your voice that high or raise your hand. You're like, look at my stuff.
We all need our ways, Andy. We all need our ways.
Yes. Pathetic and sad. Being honest.
Yeah. Okay. So let's move to struggles and failures. Or you could just call them hard problems if you wish.
Hard problems.
That's my episode that came out today was, oh my God, I forgot his name and he's one of my favorite authors of all time and I'm completely blank.
It's okay. Been there. I did that yesterday.
This is insane.
But it was something about my family. Like I forgot a family member's name.
This
and I was like,
insane.
Oh yeah, blood of my blood and I forgot them.
Oh, sorry. This is James Altucher.
Okay.
It's one of my favorite authors. Love his stuff. And so he likes to define it as hard problems rather than failures. So it's actually still on my notes in that. But anyways, as entrepreneurs, as human beings, right? One of our greatest struggles is the fear of being wrong, making mistakes and failing.
Yeah.
So obviously when you are going to take permission, this is going to happen. But can you think back to a time when you did say either want to take permission or just do something within your business and you ended up being totally wrong. And then like how you got through it.
I like to say like, cause here's the thing, even when you work for yourself, you can still get fired by a client. I mean, you still have, you know, like you're still going to get resistance. So I took permission one time, like I will never like tell anyone this person's name, but I took permission one time to do sort of the same thing I did with those other guys I talked about, where I said, hey, I want to help you with this. So I came to this person very early in their platform and I said, hey, here's some advice about this area. Here's some advice about this area. And I think you should be creating this kind of product. And this person said, you're absolutely right. And I want you to be the one to make that product with me. And I was like, cha-ching. Like, I'm not exaggerating what I said. Like when they said that, it was probably $100,000 like gift to me. Mm-hmm. Where they're like, because their platform was so huge and they had not done anything to really monetize it yet. Right. And about 2 months later, it all fell apart. And they met as a team and they said, hey, we're looking at our next calendar year. And this project, your project, didn't make the cut.
Oh.
And you know what? Like, that's business, man. Like
it
that.
Is. Yeah.
Now, did it hurt like words I'm not supposed to say? Yeah. You know, like it did. It hurt a lot. I mean, I took it personally. You know, I felt like a failure. I felt not good enough. You know, I thought like I was self-employed, so I couldn't get fired, but there's still those opportunities to have people tell you that they don't want to do stuff. And at the end of the day, it really was a good decision for them. Like I would have not have done as good a job as they needed me to do. And it hurt a lot. And the problem with that, it's like getting the guts to ask the hot girl out and she laughs at you. Or, even worse, she says yes. And then like it's Thursday night and you're supposed to pick her up Friday. And you've been telling all your friends for a week you got a date with the hot girl, but she calls you on Thursday and cancels. You know, like that's what happened to me. You know, the hot girl canceled. But
why do you think that you wouldn't have done as good a job as you needed to do?
Because sometimes I'm better at selling than I'm delivering. And so I think that I was good at pitching myself as a resource in the area. Like generally, like we were talking about before, sometimes you can go forward and then figure it out. I really think for what they needed for the level of professionalism they had, they really needed someone with more experience. And so the cool thing is the next time, I just made this connection. The next time I saw that person had a need and then they have a massive platform, I reached out to someone on their team, the same person that had called me before and said, this thing is canceled. We still had a relationship because I didn't like flip them the bird and say, you know, go away. Mm-hmm. I said, okay, that's fine. I understand. It's just business. But I reached out to that person a few years later on their team and I said, hey, has this person thought about having, you know, this part of their business grow, you know, having this available to their tribe? And they said, you know what? We're actually considering that right now. What do you think? And I go, well, I have the person they need to talk to. And it wasn't me. It was like, but I saw a gap in that person's business. Again, the same person that had basically canned me from this project. And I knew someone that could help them and I connected them and they are now two peas in a pod. They have literally made millions of dollars together and I haven't gotten any money from that. But do you think they're grateful to me? Yeah, because I introduced them. Do you think that our relationship is good? Yeah, my relationship's good with all of them, you know? And, you know, do I wish I'd be like, and I want 2%, you know, like I wish I would have said that, but I didn't. You know, like I'll take 0.001, whatever. I didn't. But at the end of the day, I felt like it was the right thing for me to do was to sort of rise above it. Like I think they could have handled canning me a little bit better and I could have been more mature about getting canned. But I, you know, had friends that were encouraging me and praying for me and fighting for me and a wife that said, you know, you'll get the next one. And then she kind of turned around and said, oh, no, we need money. You know, because we did. But that's an example of taking permission and sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't, but you got to keep doing it.
Totally.
If you do it in the right way, then you become a really good resource.
Yeah. And I think connecting those two people is probably a brilliant thing to do. And you're right. It is, those people both hold you in a good light now. And even if you don't get anything directly from it, I'm sure it is going to come back to get you.
Yeah.
So the idea that you are better at selling than you are at delivering is interesting. Is this just...
That's a really nice way of saying it. Interesting. It haunts me.
No, because it's actually, as you said it, it's like, wow, that's a thought I've had in my head of myself, but have never like verbalized it in that way. And I love the thrill of like going out and selling an idea to somebody to start a project or do something. Right. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, they say, yes, yes, success. Now let's move on to the next thing. Right. It's like, no, now you got to do all the work. It's like, ah, that's right. So that's so cool.
John, the problem with it is it's a form of deception. I am in effect lying to people when I say I can do this and then I don't go do the work. Right. And so that's where I've had to really wrestle with. And part of this is just saying no to more things, but I've had to wrestle with saying, you know, do you want me to do that for you? Because I have to go all the way forward and say, and I will make this time and the space to go do the work, because a lot more people want to sell than do. And unless I had a staff that will just go, or I have to put systems in place to actually get those things done without me doing them.
Yeah, right? There you go.
Just like a real business, which I, you know, like just started running in the last year versus the last like 6 years of being self-employed. And the last year I've had an actual business. Does that make sense at all?
Yeah, it does. And I was going to say, that's like, I mean, if you could put a team together around, I mean, webinars even with people's lists and like, you could find somebody who, there's people out there who do amazing webinars and have no idea how to get even one person to join their webinar. You could literally, well, here we go. And it's like, you get 10%, I get 40%, and this person gets 50%, and we're all happy.
I've done deals like that. You know, I've done a deal where I got 20% and I just connected these two people. One that had the product, the other had the audience, and I stepped in the middle. And that deal, I think I made like $5,000 on. I did a deal like that in the last like 3 months. And you just string enough of those together. But then here's another one. Here, I'm just going to be totally honest with, like, well, that sounds fun. But then people say, what do you do? And then I try to figure out, like, what do I do all day? And I get torn because I have my own platform I want to build, right? Like, I want people to go to takepermission.com. I want them to buy my digital products. I want them to buy my books. So am I this brand that is Andy Traub, or am I the guy that helps other people with their brands, or can I do both? Now, the answer to that question lies somewhere in 2015, because I need to make some decisions about what to do. So if anything, I want those listening to go, wow, this guy like really is all over the place, and just know like that's okay, because that's their portfolio kind of business. And that's a, I know we need to wrap up soon, but that this is a something else that I just was really encouraged by hearing Jeff Bezos of Amazon, because they said to him, can Amazon make money? Because it just doesn't make money. And he said, well, actually Amazon does make money. Parts of Amazon make money. Parts of Amazon cost a lot of money. But we do the core business so we can try stuff. So the first question in the interview was, what the heck happened with the Amazon phone? Like, that was the first interview question. And they went on to talk about, well, we try stuff. Mm-hmm. And so if people remember anything, I would love to remember this. Sometimes you have to do some core things in your business that aren't the sexiest or most fun so that you can fund other things to try. And I think that's what Jeff Bezos does. He's like, hey, let's get this core stuff right and make money. And then with the fun, and then we can have some fun. We can try some stuff, because that stuff you try, that might also become, you know, fun and profitable. You don't know. But so many people don't make enough in their core business to go try stuff. So they never get a chance to do anything fun, or they just try to do fun stuff and they don't make any money. Right. So that's why I'm very excited about my business in 2015 and saying, okay, here's my core stuff. And I'm not going to feel bad about trying stuff and having it fail. That'll be my fun stuff.
Nice.
That'll be my Amazon phone.
Hopefully not. But do you have any idea of what the fun stuff is going to be coming into the new year? Do you have ideas for them?
Yeah, I'm not trying to be like secretive. I'm just more trying to get my junk together in my head. Yeah, I mean, I think what I would really love 2015 to look like for me and my business to look like is to finally stop knowing that there's things I don't need to do and actually start having other people. Like, I have a VA right now. She's phenomenal. And I want to have probably two or three. But knowing how to, and I've never had them. Here's why. Not because I didn't have work for them, because I didn't know how to manage them. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how to delegate. I was so busy in my own stuff that by the time, it was like trying to teach my son how to tie his shoes, and I just like tie his shoes. He's like, well, Dad, how am I supposed to learn? My shoes are tied now. And I'm like, oh, well, never mind. You know? So I want to be able to build a business that I really am truly doing what only I can do, and that someone else is doing all the other stuff. And so, yeah, fun stuff for me is I've got a site that I haven't told anyone about called Digi How To. And it's basically just digital how-to products. And, you know, that I want to have like 10 digital products there on how to do lots of different stuff. and I want to be able to record the content and then go, boom, make a course and have my VA do all the work of setting up the course and editing videos and, you know, setting up the pages and things like that. Cause then I can really create more fun stuff, you know? So yeah, I mean, that's something that would be really big for me. I have another book in me for 2015, Early Rise for Entrepreneurs. Learn the habit of getting up early and build your business at the same time. You know, I want to make that happen in 2015. So that's a couple fun things I'd like to do.
Excellent. I look forward to them.
Yeah.
Is it digihowto.com?
It is. It is.
Nice. Very cool. Andy, this has been fun. We've talked a lot about you, your business, and sometimes how it gets muddled into other people's businesses. So can you clearly tell us where everybody can go to find out more specifically about you?
Well, I have no guarantee about what I'll be talking about on any given day, but if you want to hear me say anything, go to takepermission.com. And, you know, whenever you head there, you know, I appreciate it. And if you ever happen to buy anything from me, just know that I appreciate it and that you help feed 3 adorable children and a really pretty wife when you do that. But I would love to point people back to you and just maybe give a shout to John, whether it's Twitter or Facebook or whatever place. So if you have his email or if you're his neighbor, you can go over and, you know, knock on his door and give him a high five. But John, you give people like me an opportunity to share my message. And that's a real gift. And so I don't take that for granted. And I want to thank you for being professional and also being really cool. So thanks for giving me a shot to be here today. And a shout out to you for making an awesome show.
Oh, geez, Andy. Thanks. I appreciate that.
No problem.
And I do have to say that that was an amazing sales pitch for your stuff at the beginning. Feed 3 beautiful kids and a beautiful wife. That's amazing. Just, I've never heard such an honest sales pitch.
I have beautiful kids. They need to eat. I have a pretty wife. She also eats food.
Exactly.
And really, like, you know, it's like beyond, you know, helping fund the U.S. government, you know, where 30 or 40% of my income goes. Yeah, the rest, you know, helps feed my family. So sincerely, thank you.
Excellent. I appreciate it, Andy. Thank you very much.
All right, man. Thanks.
Well, Andy, that was a lot of fun. And I thank you sincerely for stopping by and chatting with me and for the kind words at the end are obviously meaningful as well. And I do appreciate it. You are a smart dude. And I love the whole take permission thing. And I know for a fact that I wouldn't be where I was today if I hadn't done that and taken that to heart myself, where you really do. I mean, you can't expect people just to think of you and to do stuff for you at all. You really do just have to step up and take the permission. It's permission is hard to get otherwise if you're just waiting for it. You really, if you want something bad enough, just step up and kind of take it and get it or make it happen in some way. It really is how this game works. So Andy, thank you for that. He said a lot of smart things, but he said one thing, didn't he? He did. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
Sometimes you have to do some core things in your business that aren't the sexiest or most fun so that you can fund other things to try. And I think that's what Jeff Bezos does. He's like, hey, let's get this core stuff right and make money. And then with the fun, and then we can have some fun. We can try some stuff because that stuff you try, that might also become, you know, fun and profitable. You don't know. But so many people don't make enough in their core business to go try stuff. So they never get a chance to do anything fun, or they just try to do fun stuff and they don't make any money.
And that's the hack. Beautifully said, Andy. Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely true. If it wasn't for my core business that existed before Hack the Entrepreneur, I wouldn't have had the 2 months to spend and dedicate my time full on and throw myself just straight headfirst into podcasting, which has now in turn taken over and become such an amazing force in my career and in my life. And it's amazing. But if I hadn't have been making that money, and it's true, you have to focus on your business and you have to make that money. And then you have to take that time to do fun, cool stuff in your business, because those are the things that can really take off and do cool stuff. But if you're only doing cool things and not focusing on the making of the money, if you don't make money, you don't have a business. It really is that key. And it's an essential thing, I think, to understand. And I appreciate so much that Andy understands that and really hit that home, because good businesses are like that. Good businesses now, massive companies even, allow time per week for people to just do creative things, any sort of project they can think of to work on, because their revenue has allowed them to do this. And those small creative projects are where things like Gmail and stuff have come from, and interesting things that Google has decided to do because of that time allowed. But if they were just struggling all the time, they just would never have that. And so I think that's really, really, really key. And I know that we all struggle with enough time to do stuff, So I appreciate that he said that. And I do thank you for that, Andy. So this has been a lot of fun, guys, as always. If you have had a chance, or if you haven't had a chance, I should say, hacktheentrepreneur.com/iTunes. I would love a review. There are 250 or 265 star reviews, and you guys are amazing. You blow my mind every day when I go on there and read them, and I would love one from you. 2 minutes it takes you, and it helps the show so, so much. So if you can, please do that. If you're not on an iPhone, lots of people aren't, and I don't blame you. They're kind of get annoying sometimes. I'm on one though, but still. hacktheentrepreneur.com/Stitcher will take you to probably the app you might use if you aren't on an iPhone. And the reviews over there are fewer and farer between. I think they don't push it hard enough, but Stitcher is a great place to find podcasts if you are looking. And on there, I would love a review as well. It is very, very helpful. That's all I got, guys. I thank you very much again. I truly appreciate you taking the time to stop by with me. This episode's been a little bit longer than usual, but I think Andy was worth it. So thanks again. Take care. And until next time, please keep hacking the entrepreneur.